Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard. Fire up a grill or a smoker or even a deep fryer. Because all of that, we're still being blessed with wonderful weather, at least where we are. And still a lot of time to get out in your backyard and make a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Right now, we've got a gentleman joining us named Jeff Butzow. And Jeff is with Fish Lads and Carvers. And what that is it is a fish market, and then next door to it is a butcher shop. And we're gonna take a little dive into the fish market right now, because as I mentioned in the last segment, we don't get an opportunity to talk to somebody that really knows seafood and fish and how to put it on the grill, how to select it. To me, I walk up to the window, Jeff, and I'm confused. I know a few pieces of fish, but boy, there's stuff there that from a Michigan boy that's freshwater, when I see something that's out of an ocean with a big O eye looking at me or something, I got to learn how to buy that stuff. So tell us a little bit about what your business is and how you can help us if we walk up
to the
window.
Right. Well, based off of what you just said, you know, you can look at it one of two ways as a owner of a fresh fish market. It can be a challenge in one way because you have a certain demographic here in the Midwest that isn't familiar with a lot of seafood product. The other side of that is you have a whole group of people that are excited about trying new things.
Right,
you know,
You
know, at Fish Lads, we try to offer a huge variety for people, and everything is fresh. None of it's frozen. Everything is air freighted in. So, yeah, it can be overwhelming, to say the least,
for a
first-time visitor.
I'd liken it, Nick, to walking up to the craft beer store, and there's 600 bottles of craft beer at some of our better stores like Siciliano's, right?
Absolutely.
And you're like, where do I start?
Right.
And it's the same thing, yeah. Jeff, is like, I see stuff I don't even know what it is sometimes.
And that's the fun of it. You know, that's the fun of having staff there that can walk you through the decision-making process. We can narrow it down. Okay, how do you want to cook is the first question that we ask. You know, do you want to put something on the grill? And if that's the answer, then we can take you to a section of the whole fish, or we can talk about shellfish, or we can talk about the fish that are going to work out better on the grill versus in the oven, or if we're going to fry something.
And what are those tendencies of a fish that will work out better on the grill? I mean, if somebody wanted to know what that is.
You know, one of the best ways to do fish on the grill is to do it whole. And there, again, presents a whole other set of circumstances that really seem to intimidate people, yet cooking fish whole is the most simplistic and best way to do it. A lot of the fish come in whole. We have a whole fish display. We're there to, you know, scale them, and we'll take the guts out, and we'll do whatever it takes.
So they're truly all intact when you receive them?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But we're there to clean them up and get them ready. But when you're going to put a whole fish on the grill, let's say, you know, we'll scale them. We'll take the guts out. We'll take the gills out. But then you're left with a whole fish. And if you're going to get that ready for the grill, it's so easy. You can just season it with olive oil and salt and pepper, and then you can stuff the belly with, let's say, lemon wedges and fresh parsley. And you put that on the grill, and you're in business. It's very straightforward, and it almost simplifies things to the point where it's almost easier.
So there's skin on the fish still. You scaled it, but the skin is still there. So on a whole fish, obviously, I've got skin on both sides. It's not like a fillet. So when I put that on the grill, what are the two or three things I need to do to make sure, one, it doesn't stick and fall apart, but two, how do I know when to flip it?
Yeah, those are all big issues, and those are things that could certainly intimidate, scare people away from the whole process. You need to have a grill that'll get hot, of course. You know, when I say hot, you know, 400, 500 degrees.
So you're going to open this thing right up to high.
You're going to open it up.
Right, okay.
The next thing that you want to do is clean the grill as best you can. You want it nice and clean. You don't want any leftover food debris on there. Those are the things that are really going to adhere to the skin.
Yeah, I would take a little sidebar on a safety note here. Every year we hear about the people that use the old wire brushes to clean the grill, and one of those wires will come out and stick in the stuff that's on the grill. You put the piece of food on there, somehow it gets into the food, and then it gets into your mouth.
Right.
Very, very dangerous. Do not skimp on your grill brush. Okay, get a new one every year.
Yeah.
They're $7-$8, $10 at most, and then just throw the other one away. You don't ever want that to happen. But anyway, back
then,
to the fish.
You know, step three kind of, you know, will help with that problem, because, you know, in order to, you know, decrease that possibility of it sticking, you obviously need to lubricate that hot surface.
Right.
Best bet, paper towel, cheap vegetable oil. jar, you know, dump the oil onto the towel, grab the tongs, and you're just going to rub that back and forth.
Right.
And you're going to do it. You need to do it, you know, 10, 20, even 30 times. But what you're doing is you're building a layer of lubrication one after the next. Each time you swipe that back and forth, you're actually adding a layer on that grill.
Is this before you light the grill or after it's hot?
This is after it's hot.
Right, yep. Exactly.
Yep. And then when you have the fish ready to go, obviously you want that fish to be patted dry. You want to get as much moisture as in water. You don't want water on there. You want to get it dry, and then you can put your fat on the fish, whether that be olive oil or butter or whatever it may be. Olive oil works fine. You would rub that down, season it, and then you put it right on that grill surface that you just lubricated with your paper towel and oil.
Okay.
And then the next most important thing is you don't move it. You have to let
That is the tendency of a lot of people, is that they want to fuss with it.
They really do.
When it's on the grill.
It's a funny thing. It's almost ingrained in us that we can't just walk away from it, you know? it really makes all the difference in the world.
The wisdom of George Foreman, right?
Yeah.
Set it and forget it.
Yeah. Right.
It's nice that brewing is a little bit more like, it is set it and forget it. Oh, yeah, the boil's going. Right. I'm just going to walk away from this. Walk away. Right. I'm used to that, so fish might be up my alley.
But once you get that fish down on that first side, you want, you know, skin, the fish skin is in my opinion, the best part of it. It's so funny to me when I see people eating fish and it has this perfectly caramelized, beautiful, crispy skin, and the first thing they do is just peel that off and set it aside or toss it.
Right.
It's like it's almost
you're losing most of the flavor.
Yeah, a part of me dies inside when I see it happen.
Right.
So once you leave that on the grill and that skin gets nice and crispy and caramelized, it'll actually release itself from the grill.
Right.
You know, and you walk away from it for 4 minutes at a high temperature, you come back to it, you can nestle the tongs right underneath it or the spatula, and you're literally just rolling it over onto the next side and then shut the lid and walk away from it for another couple minutes and you're good to go. You know, if you have a probe thermometer, obviously you want that temperature on the inside to be, you know, get it up to 140, you know, and walk, you know, pull
it's
it off
not
the grill.
It's not a 180, a 190 deal.
No, you don't need to over, the more that you overcook, depending on what it is, if it has a high fat content, like salmon or bronzini, things of that nature. Pretty tough to overcook those, sea bass, things like that. But, you know, for the most part, you know, once you get up to that, definitely 140 is probably even overkill.
Okay.
Know, 120, 125.
Well, that's
even.
Cool. So yeah. So don't mess with it. Let the grill do the work.
That's right.
And then when it, if you took like a little fork or the edge of your tongue, does it need to flake?
You would
is
want
that
it to
an
flake.
Indicator too?
Yeah, and it depends again on what it is. I mean, if we're dealing with something that we're going to leave rare in the middle, like a tuna steak or something like that, then we're just going to sear the outside. So there's so many different layers to it. But if you want a fish that's cooked all the way through, then yeah, you want to see that flaking.
So let me ask you, what is your favorite kind of fish on the grill or seafood?
I'm a sucker for oysters. Oysters are probably one of my favorite foods. And I have had a hard time narrowing that down over my lifetime.
Sure. Lots of different regions that produce them.
Yeah, but I think oysters as a whole, it's just such a simple animal. You don't really have to add a lot to it to appreciate a majorly complex flavor profile. And then, you know, putting that on the grill in its simplest form, letting the shell pop open. You're not really letting it cook all the way through because as it cooks all the way through, it'll shrink up and become a rubbery texture.
Right.
But you let it go long enough for the shell to pop, and then it's very easy to get into them. And there's this luscious liquor is what it's called, the oyster liquor.
Right.
That heats up really nice, and you've just got this beautiful.
You just slurp the whole thing.
Yeah.
Take a little knife, pop it off the shell.
Take a little nudge to release it from the shell, and you're in business. You can throw a shot of Tabasco on there and a drop of lemon juice, and you won't even move. You just hang out by the grill, have your oysters, and put them on, take them off, eat them.
Depending on the variety of the oysters, some are a little saltier than others.
Yeah. You know, oysters are going to taste like oysters.
Right.
The variance in flavor and texture is all over the board. I mean, there's a Beilong flat, which is a European oyster that is a very metallic flavor. And then you have a lot of oysters on the West Coast, which will come across very melony and a sweeter flavor. And then your typical East Coast oyster is more on the salty, briny side. So there really is a huge difference.
Okay, Jeff, we have just scratched the surface of where I want to go with this thing. I'd like to ask you to hang around for the next segment if you could, because I want to dive into this deeper. I want Nick to pair up some beers with this stuff. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Jump in my John boat. I store my gear, I fire up, and when I'm in the clear, I sail across that water, smooth as glass. Ready, here I come, you 5 pounds.